Welcome to Email After Hours by Senderscore, powered by Validity.
We're your hosts. My name is Guy Hansen.
And I'm Danielle Gallant, and this is Email After Hours. Okay, listeners, it's almost time to put on your out of office and tell your coworkers, let's circle back after the holidays. But we couldn't let everyone leave for the holiday break without a send-off from us here at Email After Hours. It's the perfect time to look back at the year gone by in the world of email marketing, revisiting the highs and lows and everything in between.
We've seen a lot this year. From cutting-edge strategies that broke new ground in email deliverability to campaign blunders that had us all learning a thing or two about humility. So in this host's own episode, we're unpacking the biggest moments of the year, the top email news stories that shaped our industry, and taking a fun dive into the best and the worst of holiday campaigns. So it's a special edition. And it is Email After Hours, so grab your favorite holiday drink and let's look back.
Cheers, Guy, or Santa. I'm going to start off with a non-email related question. What do you want for Christmas this year, Guy?
So, you know, kind of speaking of holiday drinks, I love single malt whiskey. It's one of my biggest vices. And each year, I get myself an advent calendar of 25 smoky, peaty samples of single malt whiskey curated from all around the world. And each evening, it's my little present to myself. I open up the next one, snip it, and life's generally good. What about you, Danielle?
Well, first, I want to celebrate Christmas at your place. Sounds pretty good. But for me, Christmas is coming early this year because I'm excited to be going back to one of my favorite cities in the world as a little Christmas treat, and that's Mexico City. So the plan is to pretty much eat every taco that I come across, and that's going to be my Christmas gift to myself this year.
Wow, smog and tacos. That's going to be quite a combination.
Exactly. The two pair so well. And now on to email, of course. I feel like I got to meet a whole bunch of email celebrities this year. I got to be number one email fangirl. On this podcast, of course, we had people like Chad White, where we got to wax on about Apple MPP. I got to hear all of his perspective about that, which was really interesting. I got to go to my first MOG conference this year. You and I just did a Validity State of Email webinar talking about the changes that Gmail and Yahoo are making in 2024. More on that coming very shortly. We got to talk to Marcel Becker at Yahoo. It's been the year of email celebrities for me over here, so I've been very happy about that.
It has. I mean, we've had some great guests over the year, but I think, you know, some of the serious big stories of the year, and you've touched on a few of them already, everybody is talking about the new requirements that Gmail and Yahoo are going to be enforcing around authentication and unsubscribes, the requirement for one-click unsubscribes and maximum complaint rates. And we could devote a whole episode to that. But if you haven't caught up with this story yet, check out our most recent episode of State of Email Live. You'll learn everything that you need there. Google in particular has been busy. December means they're going to start activating their new policy of deleting old accounts greater than 24 months with no activity. So make sure there aren't any of those in your email lists. Big story a couple of months ago with Apple rocking the boat again, introducing link tracking protection. And I think there was a collective intake of breath from the email marketing community going, oh, hell, what's Apple doing this time? I think fortunately, the impact has mostly been on the big online advertisers and less impact for email marketing. But it's certainly prompted a load of research and testing and investigation as the latest release of iOS dropped in September. So those were some of the big stories that we've been reporting on. And I think it's interesting, Danielle, isn't it? Because there's a common theme there of businesses like Apple and Gmail and Yahoo thinking hard about the privacy of their customers and best practices and industry standards that they apply to how they process and use their data. And that's also being reflected in new legislation that we're starting to hear about too.
That's right. We've seen rumblings in 2023 for sure. And there have been new, like, state U.S. state laws that have come into effect in terms of consumer privacy, but it's broader and kind of bigger than that too, especially for what we expect to see in 2024. Like you mentioned AI. We hope, at least, that in the US there will be some sort of legislation on artificial intelligence that comes in the next year. And again, more and more state laws will continue to come out. And for everybody in the world of email, we know you're going to love that because we all love acronyms just so much. And there's going to be so many more of them, like Montana is going to have their Consumer Data Privacy Act. Oregon is going to have one as well. Texas. So all of these are going to come into effect in 2024. Even in Europe, the European Commission's proposal for more regulation on e-privacy aims at reinforcing trust and security in the digital world. And I'll add that while this is not a new law, Google is officially starting to phase out third-party cookies in 2024. For real this time, guys, because I feel like that's deja vu. We've been saying that for a while, but it is going to start happening. So privacy is absolutely a major focus. It was in 2023 and is going to be in 2024 too.
That acronym you are searching for, I reckon I know what it's going to be. It's going to be FAIL, F-A-I-L. It's going to be the Federation of Artificial Intelligence Legislation.
I would love that. That would go so beautifully with canned spam, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk about some peak season stuff, because we are right in the thick of it as we record this episode. So let's dissect this year's Black Friday email campaigns. Guy, what trends did maybe you notice and which strategies seem to pay off for most brands? For me, the strategy was blast. I got so many, I can't, countless emails. It was like ding, 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 ding. My phone was just going off like crazy this year. How about you?
Firstly, echoing what you've just said, I know, right? And you know, I look at my own personal accounts, they're almost ticking over like those old-fashioned notice boards at the airports. And you realize the importance of dropping those emails at just the right time, because as soon as they're off that first screen, out of sight is out of mind. And certainly by the time I logged on a Monday morning, there was hundreds, literally hundreds of Black Friday and Cyber Monday emails in my inbox. I think a couple of thoughts. It was interesting to see that there definitely was a bit of a theme of using customized friendly froms to show that these were event-specific emails. So for example, we saw Hickory Farms, where the friendly from was changed to Hickory Farms Black Friday. And we saw Orec doing exactly the same. So the friendly from Orec Cyber Monday. And I'll be really interested to hear how this worked for them, because I think on the one hand, it clearly going to drive more recognition. It's going to make the emails stand out. They can be very specific about what they are and what they contain. But I do wonder if there's a risk for those senders as well, because if you're seeing those emails today or later, it's going to be very clear that it's post-event and probably not relevant anymore. And the only treatment they're going to generate, if they generate any treatment at all, is they're going to get deleted or they're going to generate some spam complaints. So could be a bit of a two-edged sword, that one. I think the other thing that crossed my mind, and only a small comment, but recently I signed up for Morphy Richards' email program. So these are the home appliance company. And I've been going through a bit of an onboarding program with them. And literally in the middle of the weekend, I get the, hey, guy, I would love to learn a little bit more about you. You want to share some information? And the intent is good, but really sort of dropping that in the very middle of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, I was almost certainly never going to see it. And it crossed my mind that, you know, maybe brands should think about that. And when they do have these automated programs in place, and you know that a huge high volume event like Black Friday is coming along, maybe just pause them for a couple of days so that when those emails do go out, they get the visibility and the airtime that they deserve and don't just get buried in those 500 other emails that are also in my account.
That's such a great point. And now that Black Friday is over, the holidays and Christmas are in full swing, and we sometimes talk about our musical tastes or maybe lack thereof on email after hours. Is there a song that comes into your head when we talk about holiday campaigns? For me, I don't know, 12 Days of Christmas, because there isn't a 30 Days of Christmas song, but it does seem to go on, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it should be like 60 days or 90 days. there's the obvious ones, when you're going to get whammed, and the Pogues, of course, Fairy Tale in New York. Man, I hate this question because every time I talk about my favorite music, I date myself. But I find myself thinking of, they were a quirky 80s band called Primus, and they sung this amazing song called Sailing the Seas of Cheese. It kind of went, you know, when the going gets tough and the stomach acids flow, come and join us and we'll sail the seas of cheese. I guess where I'm heading there is that, you know, maybe I'm a Grinch, but some of the really cheesy sentimentality that we see in the big Christmas campaigns, oh man, it really makes me want to stick a finger down my throat. They're awful. And I feel that if brands are going to do the kind of stuff, or that kind of stuff, should I say, please, you know, be authentic. There's a great promotion running in Ireland at the moment, just for a small pub called Charlie's Bar. And in this one, man, it's a tearjerker par excellence. It's about this old guy. You see him going to the graveyard to visit his dead wife, and he's walking up the street, but because he's old, nobody wants to talk to him. And he goes and sits down at his spot in the pub, and nobody's like paying any attention to him. And the poor guy's so desperately lonely. And finally, this dog comes along, and he talks to the dog, and then the dog's owners come, and he strikes up a little conversation, and a new friendship is born. And I think if you're going to do the sentimental thing over Christmas, you know, make it real.
I'm ashamed to admit they always get me, Guy. Those cheesy, like really sad. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the season, but.
Because they tug your heartstrings. I'll give you that.
Especially if there's a dog. How dare you put a cute animal in there?
Can't fail with dogs, even though I've just kicked mine out.
And I know that emails that come around this season can be either they can fall flat and just kind of fade into the sea of emails, the sea of cheese, if you will, that's landing in your mailbox. But what are some memorable Christmas or maybe Black Friday or holiday email campaigns that you've seen so far this year? Did any stand out in terms of their creativity?
You know, the funny thing is I'm almost going to contradict myself because I think here in the UK, one of the standout campaigns is this year's John Lewis Christmas ad. And John Lewis are very famous for their huge productions, and apparently they've spent about £800,000 on this year's one. And most of them are those sort of almost nauseatingly sentimental, cloying. But this year they've taken a slightly different approach. And the story is this young boy, he buys a seed because he's going to grow his own Christmas tree. But it turns into a Venus flytrap, and it's very sort of little shop of horrors. And slowly but surely, the flytrap takes over the household until the point that it tries to eat the family dog. And then it's disgrace and it gets kicked out. And then you do have this sob moment because the poor Venus flytrap, which has grown to about 6 foot tall, is sitting out in the yard and the snow's falling on it. And it's looking very miserable and sad. And everyone inside, even mom that kicked it out, is looking pretty guilty. And so finally they go out on Christmas Day and they each give it a present. And of course it like massively ingests these presents and spits out the actual present, and everyone wraps their Christmas presents and it was happy ever after. So there you go. That's my personal favorite of the year. The email dropped on November 9th. If you're a member of that program, have a look.
I wanted to shout one out too that was kind of unique, although it's not a Christmas or a holiday campaign. It was one that I got on Black Friday. And of course, we've already said like my inbox was just completely swamped. But I did get one super unique email, which came from a company called The Ordinary, and they do skincare and beauty products. And the subject line was simply, "We're closed for Black Friday." And the pre-header said, "Don't shop today." And I thought, this is some clever thing. So I clicked in. But no, it was that they were closed. They were not doing business on Black Friday. And the email just had, you know, a relatively short blurb about how for the last 4 years and now the fifth, they've encouraged customers to like slow down, make informed purchases. And it was kind of like a really interesting take on their perspective for sustainability, because we purchased so much and we're consuming so much that can ultimately just get tossed by January 1st. So even though I know this Black Friday, Cyber Monday, the holidays, brands are going to promote, they have to. It's such a critical time for them. But it was the opposite of desperate. And it was the only one that I got like that this year. So shout out to them. I thought that was super interesting.
That's so good. I don't think I've ever heard of anything like that before. It's an amazing idea.
Yeah. And so much has changed in the past year. We've already talked about it, but of course, we have to go into a real festive subject, which is a naughty and nice list. So, Guy, if we had to divide the major players in the world of email into the naughty list and the nice list this year, who would be where? What puts you on which list?
Well, firstly, I'm not really qualified to talk about nice because I've seemed to have spent my whole life on the naughty step. But I think, seriously, in terms of nice, I'm a big fan of email programs who recognize that their subscribers don't always want to receive emails. So I think being able to opt out from specific events, and we see a sender like The Body Shop do this, you know, they recognize that not everybody's in the market to celebrate Mother's Day or Father's Day or Valentine's Day, and they give their customers the opportunity to opt out from receiving emails with that kind of theme. That's a great technique. And I think similarly, senders that use snooze functionality to take a short pause from a program. And it was amazing because we asked this question of our attendees on our last State of Email webinar, and only 4% of them said they use snooze. And it's a huge missed opportunity because we've seen some research over the past year or so that suggested that if you provide your subscribers the opportunity to take a temporary break when they need to, you'll reduce your permanent opt-outs by around 80%. So you've got to think, you know, what's not to like about that? And yeah, I'd call out a brand like Travelodge here in the UK, who not only offer snooze functionality, but they put it in every single email at the top of the email. And they're going to score loads of points for their customers just for the transparency and the well-intentioned nature of what they're doing. In terms of naughty, you go first. Who sits on the naughty step in your mind?
I feel like I'm a broken record, but there were just too many emails. It was blast, repetitive emails, multiple emails a day. Naughty, naughty for me. I honestly felt like I had to change my iPhone settings to turn off notifications from my Gmail app because I was just like, I can't take it. The ding's making me feel popular. And now I find out it's another email. So honestly, that was the biggest thing for me. And it's weird because we complain about this extended holiday season, right? That's now lasts forever. But there might be something to spreading it out a little bit more just so that we are not bombarded so heavily on one day. But seriously, senders where I got 3 or 4 promotions a day. Naughty.
I'm with you. There are still far too many senders out there opting for quantity over quality. And one example stuck in my mind this past long weekend. I'm signed up to get emails from Crazy Shirts. And they're a great brand. I mean, if you want to get the loudest sort of Hawaiian-themed shirt in the world, these are the guys you go to. But over the 4-day Black Friday, Cyber Monday long weekend, I received 19 emails from these guys. And I hate to say it, there is a reason why over half of them ended up in my junk folder. Just saying.
Well, and actually on that note, have there been any email campaigns so far this season that have made you cringe or just like completely missed the mark?
I suppose, you know, sort of coming back to this theme, there's so many of the damn things in my inbox. So it was hard to tell, you know, nothing egregious yet. But it is interesting sort of watching the programs who are trying to cover all the bases. And is it Black Friday or is it Black Week or is it Black November? And there was a rather wonderful email from AEG, another of the appliances senders, and they weren't quite sure what the event was that they were promoting because there was some text in it which went something along the lines of Black Friday weekend, save up to 30% on your Black November specials weekend is here with the last chance to shop your Black November offers. So they were definitely trying to cover all the bases there.
Every single keyword that you could possibly include in that email. Yeah. When we were talking about this beforehand, I was like, well, there is this one email that I could throw out here. I'm blushing even to talk about it.
I can't wait. You got to tell us now.
And I can't say it made me cringe necessarily, but it did make me spit out my coffee. It's a brand called Adore Me. And it's all in a subject line, right? Like, what's in a name? Well, Adore Me sent out a subject line that just started with your panty drawer called...
What was the second subject line?
I don't even think. No. I can't. Listen, It is email after hours. And I will just say there were some very scantily clad people in this email. And it stood out. It absolutely stood out. So they definitely knew their audience.
Your panty drawer pulled. That's almost as good as that one we talked about in our Oops episode. You know, the guy that was sitting across the street watching his neighbor and telling her which t-shirt she should go and buy.
Oh my God. Like, listen, we border on creep.
You do.
Or cringe. That is for sure.
Sailing the seas of creep. So anyhow, trying to rein it back in. So, this is also the season of good intentions, and we sort of talk about what we are hoping for in the year to come. So, you know, if we think about that, if you could have any wish come true for the world of email marketing next year, what would yours be, Danielle?
Mine is super basic. It's one of those topics that I feel like we have discussed and kind of even harped on for years. And really, I've only seen a couple of brands really go through with it and make the most of it. And that is an effective preference center. We have talked about personalization. We've talked about getting the appropriate data. And there are fewer ways that we're really going to be able to do that. We talked about cookies, third-party cookies going away, and privacy coming into effect. So there are more narrow avenues in which marketers can really learn about their subscribers. And having a preference center that allows for that feedback and to be articulate and to create that one-on-one experience that we tout and see so highly, I would really love to see for all of those senders who have, they're in a great spot with their reputation, their program is doing well, make it better. Like, take the extra step to create a preference center and promote it, please. That's my wish.
So I was thinking about this. The way I see it, my wish is that a lot of those programs that we regularly talk about, the ones with like a passing acquaintance with best practices, I hope they carry on doing exactly what they're doing and send out a load of substandard email. Because you know what, Danielle? If they don't, you and I are both going to be out of jobs. So rock on, you guys. Keep myself and Danielle employed. But I think personally, it might even sound a little bit strange, but I'm a big supporter of what the likes of Apple and Gmail and Yahoo are trying to achieve with better standards and greater privacy for their customers. I think we're such huge fans of email because it's such a valuable channel. And one of the reasons that it is so valuable is it's because consumers love it too. And I think being respectful about how the channel is used creates equilibrium between senders and recipients. And when that equilibrium exists, that's when they both get value out of the relationship and you build strong, long-term relationships. So, that's my wish.
Before we sign off for this year, at least, let's just talk about some Christmassy stuff. Guy, do you have a favorite Christmas tradition of your own that you look forward to every year?
I do. So I live in a small village about an hour's drive north of London in the UK. And we have this ancient pub that was built back in about the 1600s. And during the week between Christmas and New Year's, most of us are off work for a few days. And there is nothing nicer on a cold, dark afternoon where you round up a few of your friends and you sort of settle down in this sort of dingy pub with its low beams and a couple of pints of some dark beer and the fire's crackling and sharing some good company together. And for me, as we move into this time of year, that's one of the favorite things I look forward to.
I was thinking about this too. I don't know if I have, I think it's high time for me to start building my own Christmas traditions. But when I think of them, I'm very nostalgic about it. I think of childhood traditions. And the one that comes to mind is, it just so happens that my Nana and Granddad and my aunt live right next to each other, houses right next door. And for Christmas, there would be a very fun thing where my granddad would say, okay, I'm going out, I'll be back. And he would walk over to my aunt's house, get in full Santa gear. So he went even harder than you're going right now with that hat, Guy, with your Santa hat, and would come back as Santa and, you know, give gifts. And it was just so fun. So I think I'm going to have to, I don't know, I'll come up with one. Cookies? I don't know. what can I do? But something like that, Guy.
That's awesome. When my son was much smaller and we did the Santa thing and Christmas Eve would put out Santa's mince pie and would put out Santa's Guinness. And of course, that Guinness had to be drunk. Otherwise, the whole legend was going to blow up. So that was another of my small traditions too. So, Danielle, can't believe it. That's it for this year, isn't it?
That's it. We did it. So many episodes, so many great guests. So happy.
Absolutely. And so many great pieces of feedback from our audience as well. You guys rock. Keep on tuning in, and we'll be back in 2024 with another awesome year of Email After Hours. Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas.
Be sure to tune in next time and hit subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And don't forget to visit senderscore.com for loads more great resources to help you become a stronger sender.
To all you sleepless senders out there, thank you for joining us after hours, and see you next time.